B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
A Sports Hub. Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Hardy, and you. This is Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, on the Sports Hub.
Marcus, how do you assess the consistency of this group, as well as the season you ended up having here?
We had a lot of ups and downs this season. Starting the season off with, obviously losing our coach and then getting a new one. And we just continue to fight. Things weren't always perfect for us, but we continued to compete. So we were a little inconsistent this year, but I'm still proud of the way we fought.
Where are you now that I need you?
Marcus Smart couldn't help but mention they got a brand new coach at the start of the year.
No kidding. Never heard that.
What's your issue with that?
How'd they play at the beginning of the year?
They were okay.
It came out of gate flying, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It seemed like it had no issue. Now all of a sudden it's an issue.
Wait. In his defense, he hasn't stopped talking about it really all year.
No, and he hasn't. And he hasn't stopped talking about it in every damn post game Joe's getting better. Yeah. Very critical of the coach.
He is.
Puts him on the spot.
Is he wrong?
As a player, I would say yes.
That's not to say he's blameless.
No, I say he can't player. As a player, yes, you don't do that to your coach.
I feel like at times it borderline, but it was at times over the line and was disrespectful of the position.
Pissed
and
me
of his
off.
Head coach.
If I was Missoula, I'd be pissed off.
I didn't think this, though, was anything bad. I don't think this...
Was that part of the question?
I don't think this rivaled what he was saying in the Philly series.
Do we have a question, though, T-Bone, prior to it? Because like that's what he led his answer with.
Well, he didn't do the rightfully so thing. I mean, that's not what this was. Yeah. That particular press conference, he couldn't stop talking about his coach.
Right. Yeah. Well, coach, he is coach, too. I mean,
Coach
he sits,
Smart.
He sits on the coach's chair. He does use the whiteboard and everything. So, yeah, I guess when you think you're a coach, too, you can talk about coaches a lot. Rarely do coaches mention players. Rarely. It's not a good thing to do. I don't think that would bode well for you during the week unless just he's not pressed. And there's just
okay.
there's a lack of, I don't want to say ball breaking or back and forth there, but, yeah.
Can I offer a defense, though, of Smart in a weird way?
Sure.
Because when you hear this stuff that he says about his coach, you think, oh, he must be a difficult guy to coach. Do you make that assumption?
No,
I don't. Or a difficult personality to deal with?
I don't.
Okay. You shouldn't.
Well, Doc had his run-ins with Rondo. Rondo didn't openly rip Doc.
But Marcus Smart, obviously, based on this year and all the things he said, really loved playing for Ime Udoka, right? Has anyone coached a Celtics team harder in Marcus Smart's career than Ime?
No.
So the guy likes coaching.
Yeah.
He likes hard coaching.
Yeah, we love playing for Bill
Parcells.
He broke our balls every day.
Yeah, he likes having a difficult coach to play for.
I do, yes.
He likes to receive a lot of coaching.
I like being pushed. Mac Jones likes being pushed.
I would just say don't misinterpret the things that Marcus Smart says as somehow he's an uncoachable player or a difficult personality for a coach to deal with, because I don't think either of those things are true.
No.
If they were true, he'd have all kinds of issues with the previous coach.
No, I didn't say that about him, that he's a hard guy to be coached. But at some point, that guy's gone, and you got to go play. And you're supposedly one of the big core guys.
Well, when everyone has brought up the Coach Smart stuff this year, right?
Yeah.
And it has gotten a little bit over the top. Was any of that happening last year?
No.
No, because they had no void in the coaching.
No.
There was no void there. No void to fill.
Right.
Marcus Smart wasn't doing those things.
Was David Andrews sitting on one knee with the Microsoft Surface coaching up the offensive line in prior years, or was it when Scar was gone? So when Scar was gone. And again, coaching changes were made. Mac Jones got his balls broke all year because I like to be coached hard. I want to be coached harder.
And there and there was a void in the coaching.
Yeah. But I mean, at some point, you got to stop talking about it because he ain't coming back. All right. That guy's gone. He was never coming back. It wasn't a temporary 30-day suspension. It wasn't going to be, oh, we're going to suspend for a year and then bring him back. He was never going to coach here again. They knew it. They all knew it. Now, does that have to be a point of emphasis after you as a team failed again? You're out there in the court all the time. You're the former defensive player of the year. Get their ass going on defense. You know, defense is a mindset. You got to show up and you got to want to play it. That's effort. That is effort. Offense is talent. Offense are guys that could line up and just stroke it and hit it. And you got one guy from the corner. He's sitting there set 2 feet, boom, knocks it down. Miami knew when they were knocked. That Strauss kid knew when he was knocking them down. He was here, by the way, prior, wasn't he? Whew. Why can't we get players like that? Man. Pablo Bellin. Yeah, I mean, you like being coached hard. Most guys do. Most good athletes like to be coached hard and pushed because it makes you better. But at some point, the realization of, Jesus, you weren't even asked to coach it about. You weren't even asked about email the coach. That's the first thing you brought up. Like, okay, yeah, we all know that. Yeah, you guys were put in a tough position beginning of the year. But it didn't hurt your team. You guys came out flying. You're the best team in the NBA. You're the highest scoring team in the NBA. Defense, another story. So I guess he may have made them better on defense.
Let's go to your call. 617-779-0985. We go to Norman in Maine. Norman, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good.
We listen to you every day. You keep us going good up here.
Attaboy, Norman.
Joe put Brogdon in the second period. We're still in this game. Brogdon got his arm tendon tore up. He couldn't even hit the bat, boy. One time, he looked like he was pushing the ball to Tatum. He played 7 minutes. So we got Brogdon in there that can't play. Joe puts him in. Tatum's already hurt. Just think about it, you know. And then on Brown, I think what they should do with Brown when we coach the fourth graders, we put him in the corner for 10, 15 minutes a game, made him dribble. It's like you can't dribble.
Did the parents get pissed when you put the fourth graders in the corner?
Of course they did.
Yeah. We make them run hills. Yeah.
Yeah, the dribbling off your own feet and off the feet of defenders is less than ideal. Can't handle the ball. Nope. Seemed like you had gotten past it just a couple of games ago. We're talking about, Jaylen Brown, you know, really come a long way since last year when he was losing the handle on the ball all the time.
You know what it is, too?
There it was again last night.
And part of it, too, and who knows? It could be the added pressure, too, that, like, you know, Tatum's like, I ain't got it tonight. And now all of a sudden, I got to push it. And now he's squeezing the rope a little too tight.
Well, thank goodness the pressure doesn't ever factor into, you know, being a professional athlete. You know, that's it. You won't run into that again.
Yeah. Again.
Big part of the job description. Performing under pressure.
Kind of shocked they won game six because they don't usually deal well with those tight games at the end. You usually choke those away. They're a better front-running team. You know, he stole that game six. That was a great job by Derek White. Jesus.
Which the Celtics, you know, stole, won, whatever. Tight game. Do you feel like the Heat beat the Celtics last night?
Oh, yeah.
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 Is that what that feels like? They scored 103 points. Or do you feel like the Celtics didn't even give them a game? I feel like it is.
I felt you got your ass.
Like it goes down almost as a no contest.
I feel like the Celtics didn't give them a game, but that Miami played well.
Miami.
I think
both of those things can be true.
I think the Celtics could have given them a game and made Miami beat them.
Yeah, Miami didn't have to. They weren't stressed.
You didn't make Miami beat you last night. You didn't show up.
If you pick some neutral bystander and just said, hey, you're going to go watch this game and know nothing about either of these two teams or talent or past history and say, you're going to watch this basketball game, you tell me which team busted their ass and played harder. And it's Miami. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And defensively, they kept the pressure on all night. I thought that was the closest thing I can say to them actually beating you. But for a team that went out there and said, we're just going to chuck threes, and if they don't go in, oh, well, that's the game plan. And and all we got a couple of things figured out. Missoula's first time out of the night, I think it was the first one, was when the Celtics would have had a fast break off a rebound and called a timeout. I'm like, well, not now.
Because they were in a funk prior, but they were in a funk prior to that. They weren't really in a fast break. Yeah. They got the ball and were ready to go in a fast break.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Let's maybe not do it now. Let's see if something develops a little bit later.
But you got so much credit last week for calling that timeout early, Hardy. See, he's learning. Like, well, maybe I got to call the timeout.
Ice cold. What are you going to do to fix it? Just keep shooting. Shooter's going to shoot. Well, that's not. You're not really playing basketball, then, are you? You're doing one thing. Just button your head up against the wall. Boom, boom, boom.
Do it again.
That's all we could manage. Yeah. What? Now we could. We had two plays. Anybody shoot a three or alley-oop to Robert Williams. Those were the two plays.
I love the one when it was like a 10-point game. Marcus Smart's bringing the ball down. He goes to start to penetrate. Then he looks and then just steps back and then launches the three.
Yeah.
What effing play is
that?
What the hell is that?
Or three plays. There was the alley-oop. There was the missed three-pointer. Or just turn the ball over and give the Heat a couple of points off a turnover.
And there were a couple of sequences there where Adebayo couldn't handle the ball in the paint, where they're trying to get it to him, and he's dribbling it out of bounds. Did Jimmy miss a couple bunnies? And they allowed you to potentially get it to 10. You could never get it to 10 and under. That's when you knew they were cooked. Irene's.
Yeah. The second quarter when Jaylen Brown had his three-point attempt blocked, I'm like, well, that's it then. They still had a chance. I was still watching. I was fully engaged in the third quarter, but looking back, I'm like, oh, they're still going to shoot it, and they're starting to get their three-pointers blocked.
At some point, there needs to be some development or advancement of what is Robert Williams and what is Robert Williams going to be. Because it's like they kept saying, guys that missed a shot at home. Okay, great. So the alley-oop play works. All that. Why don't we do that more? Why can't there be more offense?
Well, they because start to would, get ready
that would,
for it.
That would assume there's an offense that they run, and many times there isn't.
And I'm also okay with
and
Robert Williams.
How does
Williams
a big factor into an offense that you just want to shoot threes?
I don't know.
I don't think that's Robert Williams. I don't have an issue with Robert Williams.
I don't.
Have him in there to rebound and play defense. That's fine.
I think he's your Dennis most athletic Rodman. Freak. Like, let's get him going more on offense. I want him to get him involved early. I think it's good.
Let's get to more of your calls coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
look at all the suits.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Where's Zoe on this? This is Zoe's favorite.
So they did the round thing again. Okay. Like,
the what thing again?
The round thing where it's showing all celebrities at the game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Who the hell's Jack Harlow?
Come on, Zoe.
I was with her.
I thought you were the cool dad.
I called my daughter down. She was upstairs. She's like, dad, he's a big rapper.
Haven't we talked about Jack Harlow on the show before?
Yes, he was at Fenway, remember, last year. What's Poppin'? You know the song, What's Poppin'?
So, that was a few years ago.
So he's from here?
No, but he's been a Celtics fan. The issue is he has a song called Tyler Hero that blew up and was like all over the charts a year ago.
Oh.
But he has been a consistent Celtics fan. He's from Kentucky.
All right. But Brody was watching him. He didn't know, and he knows all of them. I have no clue, Dad. So I said, Sam, get down here. Who's that? I guess Jack Harlow. You know Jack Harlow? Like, no.
You know the song What's Poppin'?
I don't know. Like,
you would
if
know
you
if played it,
you
play it, you would absolutely know.
What's poppin'?
Are you rocking?
He's in the remake of
Jack Harlow time.
Brand new one just popped in.
Is he the one that made that weird rejoin thing that you talked about a couple months ago? What was that thing? Like, it was an awful sound song.
I think it was MGK.
He's going to be in the remake of White Man Can't Jump. He's going to be Woody Harrelson.
You said it was a TikTok.
You know who's bad luck for those Celtics this playoff run?
No, I'm not. That's my man.
No, say it. Go ahead. You know. You know what I'm about to say. Why don't you say it?
I'm not saying it. That's my man.
Robert Kraft.
That's my man. He could go anywhere. All Boston sports. Free invite everywhere.
Jeez. He was at the Bruins. They lose. At the Celtics. They lose.
Bad luck for the Patriots.
Stop it.
Maybe you should stop going to his games, too.
No way, man. My man.
Mush.
Put him in the bathroom. Rip the ticket up.
I'm sorry, sir. This barcode seems not to work.
Stop it.
Are you sure these tickets were for tonight's game?
Takeaways pizza box.
617-779-0985. Lakar in Boston, go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi.
What's poppin'?
I got two things. One is, what you think about Paul Pierce becoming assistant coach since he's always at a Celtics game? No. And second of all, I will not bring back the coach because he's all about three-pointers. He does not make his players attack the basket.
Okay. Paul Pierce is not coming on board as an assistant coach. You've got to find a guy who wants to coach, really has a passion and desire to coach, and also, in most cases, didn't make like $100 million in their career.
Correct. It had to scrap. It had to learn the game. That is a grinder. This kind of a hang-on type guy. Yeah, Paul Pierce, no. Why don't you bring back Kevin Garnett, too, and Ray Allen? Just the three of them could coach.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. No.
Love Paul Pierce. Not a coach.
Joe's in West Boylston. Hi, Joe.
Oh, man, facing an 8 seed, and they don't even have Tyler Hero. Just what a disaster. But anyways, two things can happen. They can A, blow it up, or B, bring back the same team. And it's got to be B. Because let's face it, the number one thing the Celtics are going to want to do is keep the scapegoat in the building while they try and figure out stuff. And Joe Mazzulla right now is a scapegoat. Because Brad Stevens, for instance, he loves Frank Vogel. If you brought in Frank Vogel and we went 500 and had the play-in type games, and what are you going to do? Keep firing coaches and like the Houston Texans do? And So, the same crew's coming back.
Dude, you lost to two number 8 seeds from South Florida. The Bruins lost to
that's been established.
That's troubling. That's troubling. But when you say the same crew's coming back, the same crew's not coming back.
It never does.
What if you're talking about Mazzulla, Brown, Tatum?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But Smart, probably.
Probably, but I would think about bringing in a hell of a point guard. If you're going to be an offensive-based team, it's going to be all about the threes and penetrating and getting those open looks the way Jimmy Butler kicks it to his guys. Get a freaking facilitator in here. And I brought up Rondo. Like, Rondo wasn't a great offensive scorer. But, boy, that dude can dribble, and he could penetrate, and he knew how to get the ball to guys. And he played defense. Get one of those guys.
Duke on the Cape. Duke.
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, I definitely would not bring back Joe Mazzulla. I mean, he doesn't have the leverage. When he gets in the huddle there, he can't tell a guy, look, you got to do this. They don't give him that kind of respect. You need someone that when you start making turnovers like Brown, you got to pull him out. Just pull him out. Pull him out for one play. I mean, you've got to make some kind of decisions. He's not doing it. And Brogdon, I mean, he was ridiculous. Look, check it out. When he went in the game, everything fell apart. He couldn't hit a bond. And I'll tell you, I would never get rid of Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is the heart and soul of that team.
Is
White. White was fantastic. And I thought he played a good game. What do you think?
Yeah, he did.
He did play a good game.
White stepped it up. He felt it.
What does that matter?
I don't know. A lot of heart and soul of team comments.
By the way, I know the plus minus, you know, didn't mean anything, but Brogdon was on the floor for 7 minutes. He was a minus 15.
Oh, my God. Yikes.
That dude's hurt.
That actually is a meaningful stat.
That sucks he's hurt because he could have helped on a night like last night.
Yes.
Yep.
He could have. Zach in Maine. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I really saw this coming. I don't know about you, but Game 6 was a disaster with the three-point shots, I feel like. And Game 7 was, too. I don't know about you, but it just it felt like a disaster.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. If you won Game 6, did you think that Miami could come here and win? Sure. Absolutely. Flip a quarter on that one for me, man.
There's no way.
It went so back
and forth. There was no way. I firmly believe that championship was contested and won by the Celtics Saturday night in Miami. And that last night was largely ceremonial. Well, just go out there and just, you know, you've already taken away their will, right?
You let them go up.
They kind of went out. They kind of went out and played their game last night, and you didn't play at all.
Yeah.
They
didn't do anything.
Didn't play.
Different. They didn't do anything different.
They really didn't.
Made their shots.
Oh, went out there and asserted themselves all over the place. No, they just played a decent game. Miami played a decent game last night, and you played no game.
The latest on the future of Joe Mazzulla, Shams, with some reporting on that. You'll hear it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think that's a thing. On 98.5
The Sports Hub. You look at Jason Tatum's comments after the game, the fact that he vouched for Joe Mazzulla, I think that was of no. But I think the impression that I'm getting right now is the Celtics and Mazzulla will look more toward stacking and elevating his bench with more veteran assistance. They need some depth on that staff. I think they're going to look more toward that this offseason. There definitely was momentum built in this series. You win three in a row, make this the series where you go into Game 7 at home, a chance to make history. I think everything that went into this, Joe Mazzulla didn't find out that he was going to be head coach until literally a day or two before media day when all the Ime Udoka stuff happened. So there is something to be said there as far as having a full offseason to have to your own and really build the right way. And the bottom line also is that Joe Mazzulla is about $14 million from what I'm told on his deal for the 3 years after this. So they just signed that new deal. And I think just given how this year went, yes, if he got swept, I think there would be a lot more questions. But the fact that it did go to Game 7, I think it allowed the Celtics to see that there is a little bit of runway, some potential here.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10. I can put the ball in the end zone, put a bad in the friend zone. Sound like an intro jet song. Give me that tempo. Told pool, he'll fool.
For those who want Mazzulla fired, Sham saying, unlikely, guys, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not to mention that decision would come down to Brad Stevens, who has done nothing but advocate for Joe Mazzulla since getting the job. And for Brad Stevens to get to a point of firing Joe Mazzulla, it would have taken something truly embarrassing, which could have been a sweep in this series.
Yeah, 4-0, he's gone.
It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
So if that's what you're looking for, I don't think you're going to get it.
Right.
Now, you could say you don't like him. You could say he didn't do a good job. Those are all fair criticisms. I just don't think he's going to get fired, though. It would surprise me at this point if that happened. Also, by continuing to go down that path as the reason the Celtics lost, if that's what the Celtics fan base in general, and I'm speaking in generalities, wants to do, you're whistling past the graveyard. It's on two guys. It's on Brown last night, without a doubt. He stunk.
Yep.
But it's also on Tatum. It's on the two best players on this team not being able to be enough. It's on those two more than anyone else.
Yep.
Tatum had stretches where he didn't show up in this series, could have really helped them earlier in the series, and Brown didn't really show up at all.
Yeah.
That's who it's on more than anyone else associated with the Boston Celtics.
And you got multiple
Those
series
two
now.
Guys.
Multiple series now over the course of the years. You could go back and say, okay, which guy didn't show up and sort of blend it together. And here's the problem with the Brown numbers off that Supermax is from NBA Central. So year 24-25, he would make $50.5 million, followed by $54.5 million, followed by $58.5 million. Then it goes to 62, and then in the final year of 28-29, $66 million. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for that player. Wow. But that's the rate. That's the rate. That's the Supermax rate. Man, they got some decisions to make. They do. I mean, people will call for them. I mean, call for him in the offseason. As bad as he was, down the stretch here, you're gonna get that. You're going to get calls about him. And whether you sign him and trade him down the road, and I think that's what's really in play at some point.
You know, it's days like these when Boston could really use a pick-me-up.
Yeah,
let's Artie, do it. Right? We Good day one? For a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
I think we got one.
Let's go on a boat ride.
How about Green Line Johnny?
Oh, God.
Wants to offer up his thoughts on the Celtics.
Sure.
And when he calls, it's always a pick-me-up. Johnny!
I could use a pick-me-up right now.
Yeah.
I could use a lot of pick-me-up right up the left strill, you know? Well, before I even get into things, I got a lot to talk about, but Woj just tweeted. Did you see?
No, I didn't see it yet. What is it?
Tatum's not going to have to amputate his left foot. Thank God. Holy smokes. I thought he was a goner for sure. They need to dismantle this team yesterday. I know it's not all on Joe, but he couldn't call a timeout if his life depended on it. And that's still an issue. He called a timeout on a fast break opportunity yesterday. What a boob. That guy couldn't motivate me to take a bowel movement. Anyways, I'm getting married, but I got a few other things to talk about before that.
Hey, whoa.
Going for round three. Yeah, I know.
Round three.
Where'd you meet her?
Yeah. How long you been together?
So we met at Daisy Buchanan's back in the 90s. Betty. Shout out to Betty if you're listening. You should be at work, bitch. But, yeah, we rekindled at Simcoe's a few weeks ago, and it's been hot and heavy ever since, let me tell you that.
Johnny, we're going to go to the Knights of Columbus. I met my wife there. That's awesome.
I hope you two kids make it.
The engagement has only been 3 weeks of courting, and that's it?
When you know, you know. When you know, Hadley. Come on. You know what I'm talking about.
Now, listen, if you need motivation for a BM, how about one of those toots up the left strill? If it's cut with some baby laxative, that's all the motivation
you need.
That'll
get you moving.
Right?
I almost took a BM at Revere Beach this weekend. The shots were going crazy. I was right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you catch all that action?
Just trying to grab a slice and a couple clams. Those kids are crazy. I don't know what's going on. 17 years old kids running around blicking.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well.
Yeah. But, hey, I mean, we could trade Tatum to the Lakers because that's where he wants to go anyway. We could probably get 100 second-round picks. I know Brad Stevens would get his berries in a real knot if we didn't get at least that many second-round picks, you know. Maybe
sure.
Get the next Euro out of Slovakia.
Yes.
The real under-the-radar guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But,
all right, Johnny, good to talk to you.
Hey, congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah, I'll be boozing.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Wowie, wow, wow.
Rare treat.
It's so good. What, twice a year, maybe?
No, nah, I'd say he's usually a quarterly caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, about once a quarter.
Okay.
I think we may have heard from him at the end of the football season.
But perfect. Any more than that, and it, you know.
It's brilliant.
It's
good for him.
It's always good.
It's great.
Always good.
When you know, you know.
You know.
It was meant to be.
Right.
It was meant to be. That's why they found each other again all these years later.
Betty.
Shout out to Betty if you're listening.
Should be working.
Better be working.
Whoo.
Wow.
Mm.
Rhino's in Shrewsbury today. Rhino.
Hey, guys. What's going on? First time, long time. Reno, by the way, but don't worry. I get that
Reno,
all the time.
I'm sorry.
No, no worries, man. All the time. But, yeah, so basically I've been prompted to call in because I'm sick of the abusive relationship I'm in with this team year after year. But I think the big problem right now is there's obviously three of them that I can think of. But I think this championship window has been fully mistimed. Having to shell out $600 million to two players is really going to hamstring this team in the future. And obviously, Mazzulla, it's not all on him, but we need a championship coach. We don't need someone to develop when your championship window is now. This team in the past 2 years was built to win a championship, and you can't have someone developing. You need a veteran voice in the locker room. But I think the big problem that no one's really seeing is the Al Horford issue. He's a huge part of this team, and he's going on 37, 38 years old now. If he can't give us the same value that he's given us in these playoffs the past 2 years, Rob Williams is not healthy enough or on the court enough or has the skill set to fill in for him, and then you're just not going to be able to fill up the roster with giving $600 million to two players. So this team's really, I feel like, mismanaged their monetary future going forward, and I just don't know what the solutions are.
Well, because hold on. You can't get them in trouble for signing Brown if they haven't done it yet. If you're saying they're going to hamstring themselves for the $295 million, we don't know that they're going to do it yet. We're not there yet. Okay? Let's see what they do.
Yeah.
And if they do that, then I think you can say, well, wait a minute, financially, there's no space here. None. They don't have any cap space going into next year. They have a mid-level exception for $5 million. They're up against it, as is. Again, if you're going to give the guy $295 million, and my opinion has changed on this, I fully admit that. Why are you doing it? For what reason are you doing it? When you do that, how is it that you go to bed and sleep easy at night knowing you did the right thing?
Because you have no choice.
How do you not fear the regret of that deal? And you know what I mean? Fear the regret in the short term, because you can always move a guy. Even on this absurd, crazy, highest paid player contracts, you can move players. It gets harder to do, though.
Oh, yeah.
It does get harder to do. It's not as easy.
They still get moved. You got to find a guy. Got to find a guy, then. You got to have an answer, and that's not easy to do.
I think the biggest answer they're going to look for from him is, do you want to be here? Is this your spot? Is this where you want to be? Are you fully committed to this and this
290?
Team?
Yes.
I mean, he'll say yes, but I mean, they've got to do the good job of figuring out whether that's the case.
But I think that's the secondary question to the first question you asked, which is, explain to me how this plays out.
Are we going to win championships because you are here?
No, right.
That's the only reason they can do it. And based on this playoff run, how could you answer yes right now? I just don't know how you could do it.
Last night
was so damaging to his future, if you ask me. That's the immediate
spot,
future.
Man.
How they're going to talk this offseason about his future. He's living on a couple of games from the finals last year. That's what he's doing.
Against a much better team. He had a chance to go off last night. At home.
Right. What was getting in the way of Jaylen Brown being a great player last night? Hardy, you've said it all day long. Did the Heat play this spectacular game? Offensively, they made some great shots, and they shot really well. They weren't exactly facing the staunchest of defenses, but what did they do that was going to prevent Jaylen Brown from having a great night?
They played defense. Amazing defense?
No.
Of the league level defense? No. Nope. They played defense.
Dude, they picked his pocket.
I should have big doubts today.
Any unforced turnovers. I know if there's a guy guarding you, there's some pressure there, but not to the... And you can't get your head wrapped up in the money. So I know that I'm the same way. I can't think of any player that'd be worth that, but think about it. By the time you get to the fourth year of that deal, he's making over $60 million a year.
Can you wrap your head around that? No, I can't. I believe players in this league deserve all the money they're getting because they are the product. But I'm just talking about from a cap standpoint, from a what you can spend standpoint. That makes things difficult. It makes things harder when you're also going to be paying Jason Tatum. If they didn't have Jason Tatum, you're not even thinking about whether or not you're paying Jaylen Brown. Seriously. It's because they have another great player, a player that's better than Jaylen Brown. That's why it becomes complicated. It's not complicated for most teams. Because they don't have multiple really good young players. pick it up on the other side with more of your calls. And also some Chuck from last night, right? Well, Charles Barkley.
Love Chuck.
On the Celtics. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back with more Zolak and Bertrand on the Sports Hub.
We talked before the game, like a college football crowd. This place was going crazy a half hour before tip, and then it was dead silent in the fourth quarter. What happened to the Celtics tonight?
Well, number one, they play bad basketball. They're so undisciplined and unfundamentally sound. They win games strictly on talent. They don't even run an offense. That's what disappointed me the most. You know, you can win a lot of games on just talent. But when you, against the zone, they just settle for jumpers. There's no ball body movement. Same thing I said at halftime. I mean, listen, you just come out. I don't even know what the final stats was. Yes, I do, actually.
9-42.
9-42.
21.4%.
Thank you, Priscilla.
16-77 the last two games.
Listen, they play what we prefer to as hero ball. Game seven, excited. They wanted every play to be pretty, Kenny. They wanted to shoot the three. They were actually trying to get the crowd involved, but when they went 0-10.
To start the game.
That should
actually 0-12.
Yeah, 0-12. That should have told them, hey, settle it down. Let's get the, you know, pace the game back in our favor.
Man, Chuck, just crushing the Celtics last night. These dumbass Celtics is what he said at halftime, making his head hurt.
Said someone down there, punch him in the face.
Yeah. Oh. Not holding back. One of the very best on television. Charles Barkley.
He's been great.
Always entertaining.
He's been great.
Isn't that kind of the boiling it down to its bare essence, at least offensively for the Celtics, you start the game 0-12 shooting three-pointers. All right, well, this isn't working. What else can we do? Nothing.
Take more.
I mean, and the fact that there has to be something that they could have done better last night, because as they were quick to point out just then, for the last two games, 16 of 77. 16 of 77 from three-point. But in game six, you were still able to win. What happened last night? You just couldn't get anything going. That's it? No offense in a closeout game at home? Nothing? You got nothing.
Got nothing.
Well, again, what do you think they work on practice? Shouldn't they work there on their bigs inside game? Or do you think they work on their big shooting threes? That's all they do. That's all they do is shoot threes. You think Al Horford has an inside game?
No.
That's my frustrations with Robert Williams, because there's some talent there. There's some athletic ability with that dude.
I don't know that there's any shooting ability.
But there's no shooting ability. Bam Adebayo had his issues over the years where, oh, man, this guy can't score. And then all of a sudden it looks like he can score. All of a sudden he can shoot. Bam would clank him off rims in other series in years past. If you don't have any other answers, then, man, you're cooked. You're cooked. Your guys better be able to stroke it. If not, you're losing.
Yeah, and maybe in that regard, the Heat did.
How do you do that at home, though? It's my point.
They beat you a little last night because Jimmy Butler is hitting shots that he normally doesn't hit. He's not an outside shooter. And you give credit to Bam and, of course, Gabe Vincent and –
that fadeaway he hit in the corner when Tatum hit it, it should have been M1.
Yeah.
It should have been a four-pointer.
Caleb Martin and his 26 points. So, you know, a lot of people think he should have been the MVP of the series. So, yeah, they beat you a little bit. But I still get that sinking, nauseated feeling that they didn't as much beat you as you just didn't show up. You didn't even beat yourself. You just didn't show up. You didn't show up for a Game 7 Eastern Conference Final at home.
You lose in your home building. You have a losing record the last 2 years in your home building.
Oh, yeah.
That's my point about, like, the shooting. Like, okay, you're used to your gym. Like, you play golf on a certain course. I'm sure you play much better on that one course than you would on some random course on another day. Because you know the little idiosyncrasies.
There's supposed to be a home court advantage. You didn't have to travel. It's the court that you know.
It's your gym.
It's your crowd. No.
To the point. There's a bunch of BS calling. You guys want to call us out? We'll call you out, Celtics fans. No, they react to you. That's what fans do. When you suck, you get booed, like you did at times last night. For a Game 7, and they're paying high ticket prices, and they're amped up on a beautiful day in Boston, that place was lit and ready to go. That's all they talked about on the pregame. Even the national guys were like, holy crap, never seen a place like this. Miami's in trouble. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. That was a slog. How long was that game? 9-5? It was like 5-1, 9-5. And they started joking, this game's going to be played in the 80s and 90s.
No, it's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up because it was
nobody could score.
It was noticeable as it was happening.
That's when you knew they were in trouble. Because it felt like the energy was in the building. Celtics were running more, but nothing was falling.
All right,
and Miami hung around.
It was 9-4 at the 8:04 mark. Before you get any real minimum, at 5:04, it was 9-6.
It's like a 12-year-old's AAU game. What are we doing?
3 minutes, 2 points.
Bit of a slog.
Yeah. Ugly Game 7.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah.
Game 7s are supposed to be historic and fun. That was not.
Jimmy in New Hampshire, a defense of Joe Mazzulla today. What's up, Jimmy?
So I don't know if it's really a defense of him as much as it is a question for you guys in regards to, you know, the situation he's put into. First off, I think it was either Chuck or Shaq that said the team played hero ball. Mazzulla 100% promotes that philosophy. So I do think he kind of does have that sort of blame. But my question is, who got kind of hung out to dry by their buddy more? Brad Stevens putting Mazzulla in charge or Belichick putting Patricia in charge of the offense? Because I know we don't cross sports. But
Belichick putting Patricia in. You were sub 500.
Yeah, but the pressure of the Celtics making it to the finals last year, replacing Ime a week before the season with a guy that's a second row coach, I think there are some more criticisms of what Brad did than what we've been giving him, and I think Brad deserves more blame.
Brad, I would have. What about Wick? Wick's the one that hired the firm to come in because your former head coach couldn't keep it in his pants. What are you supposed to do a week before the season?
We think.
Go with a guy that.
Do we even know?
They cried at the press conference. Something really, really bad happened. Okay. So. I mean, that's what you're going with.
But you'd be lying if you said, oh, the Celtics really set Joe Mazzulla up for success. Well, the circumstances of the situation didn't allow for that.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess, but Patriots were sub 500 and the offense was a disaster. I think Belichick putting Patricia and set that coach up more to fail than, you know, Mazzulla, who at least got the Eastern Conference Finals, was down 3-0 and got his team to Game 7.
Anyone who was taking over this job was not going to be in a great position to succeed. Other than the fact that they had the most talented roster in the freaking league.
That helps.
There's that thing, okay?
Yep.
So I don't want to make it sound like, oh, you were doomed, because you certainly weren't doomed. Please, it's not that. But in terms of having players respect you as a coach and really take your message and run with it, no matter who it is they hired, that was not going to be an easy task. You heard last night, they lose. Marcus Smart still has it on his mind about how they let Ime Udoka go. But that's not an excuse. That doesn't give anybody an excuse not for this team to go all the way. But place the blame on the players, please, on Tatum and Brown.
That's where it belongs. At least Tatum had some highlights in this series. At least Tatum had some good games in this series. Same can't be said for Jaylen Brown. Can't. Headlines here, 90 seconds. We'll come right back with the noontime hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.